You guys ever reflect, like at the end of a day, do you just sit down and kind of think through your day, or maybe at the last day of the month, you sit back and think, what did I accomplish this month? I don't really do that as often as I should, but one of the things I noticed this year, if you have a Facebook account, you've noticed the little flipbook things that Facebook's doing. The thanks for making it a great year or something, and then it has all of the highlights from your year. And I was looking through that, and I thought about that, and I thought about some of the Christmas letters. We wrote one. We received some from other people. And a lot of times when we reflect and then we let people know what's happened, we always project the good things, don't we? I mean, I didn't read a Christmas letter from anyone this year that said, I still get angry when people cut me off in traffic, you know. I still cuss. I'm trying not to, but I do. You know, nobody writes those kind of things. They're like, you know, my kids are doing great in school, and I got a new job, and, you know, all of the great things that are happening in our lives. But Scripture calls us to examine ourselves. And I don't think that when we examine ourselves, we're necessarily supposed to focus just on what's going well. If we did that, there would be nothing to improve on, nothing to grow from. And so, we're going to look at a few scriptures today that talk about examination, just as we reflect on what's happened in the last year. 2 years ago, I asked you a question, and that question was, are you closer to God now than you were a year ago? And so I'll ask that again, and let that be a question that kind of floats around in your mind as you listen to today's message. Are you closer to God now than you were a year ago? Have you grown spiritually this year? Have you taken steps in your life to be closer to Christ? Do you feel like you know Jesus better than you did a year ago? And if not, maybe a good question to ask would be why? What's missing? What's lacking? What could you have done that you didn't do? What things did you do that maybe caused that disconnect or threw up that speed bump in your spiritual walk? There are several scriptures that talk about examination. One of them is from the book of Lamentations, where Jeremiah writes, "Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven." And then Paul is a big fan of self-examination. He's got a few different verses where he talks about this. One of them is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He's talking about examining yourself before the Lord's Supper. Now, we as friends believe that the Lord's Supper is something that we can do spiritually, and we just did that. And so as you prepare your heart to connect with God, to commune with Jesus, Paul encourages you. He says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And then in Galatians, Paul writes, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." And now on this, the last Sunday of 2014, can you believe that? Sometime halfway through this week, it's going to be a new year. I want us to really focus on another one of Paul's verses as we take a look at our year in review. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Paul writes, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" In this verse, Paul challenges the Corinthians to a self-examination. He uses a couple of words here. He uses the words test, and he uses the word examine, meaning that such an examination is not an annual activity, but it's meant to be a continuous one. This is not something that we do once a year. This should be a continuous self-examination. Where am I in my walk with the Lord? Where's my faith today? Is my faith and my trust in Jesus? Or is it in something else? Is it in my pocketbook? Is it in my relationships? Is it in my job? Or is it truly in the Lord? If I lost all of those things, would I still have faith? In the same way, we have to examine ourselves and consider some important questions. When we think about examination, we have to really understand what we're doing. What does it look like to examine myself? First, why should we do it? What's the standard by which we should measure ourselves, and what sort of questions should we be asking as we examine ourselves? These are the three things we're going to look at today. So first, why? Why do we do it? Well, Paul says we do it to determine if we're in the faith. We examine ourselves to determine if we're in the faith. He says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Paul opposed his challengers at Corinth to test themselves and examine themselves. The definition of the word test that Paul uses here, the Greek definition, means to imply a practical test, one based on a standard. So there's a standard of measurement here. It's not just, do I look good compared to the guy next to me? Do I look good next to the person in the next cubicle or the cashier at the register? But there's a standard here. And then to examine, this is a word that was used by metalsmiths back then to test the purity of the metal that they were working with. And so he wants us to test ourselves against a standard and then to examine ourselves to make sure that we are pure, that there's not something that's causing weakness in our walk with the Lord. Because there is a real and ever-present danger of drifting in our faith. There are always things tugging us back and forth. Always voices bidding for our attention in this world. And when the voice of God is a still small voice, we have to pay attention. Because there's some loud voices out there calling us off of the path. Hebrews 2:1 says, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we don't drift away from it. And then in Hebrews 3, take care, brothers, that there not be any one of you who has evil, unbelieving heart and falls away from the living God. See, the author of Hebrews understands that our faith is a very delicate thing and that there are things that can cause us to doubt. There are things that can cause us to walk away. Paul understood this too. He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Our salvation is not a one-and-done moment in history. It's an ongoing decision. Every day, I choose to follow Jesus. Every day, you wake up and you say, you're Lord, not me. It's not a one-and-done thing. It's a continuous relationship. So we have to test ourselves. Testing ourselves in the way that Paul encourages us to is understanding that there is a standard, that there is something to hold our lives up against to see if we're measuring up. We also do it to determine the truth of ourselves. Paul calls us to self-examination. He says, do you not recognize this about yourselves, that you can easily fall into the trap of self-deception? Have you ever deceived yourself? Have you ever tricked yourself into believing that something is true about yourself that maybe isn't? I've done it. I used to think I was a really good artist. You know, when you're a little kid and you draw things, man, that looks really good. And then you hold it up against a picture and you're like, ooh, it doesn't really look anything like what I was trying to do. Sometimes we can trick ourselves. Man, I go to church. I got this Christian thing nailed. I can quote Bible verses. I pray before I eat sometimes. You know, we give ourselves this romanticized view of our faith walk. And just like our Christmas letters and just like our Facebook flip books, all we do is focus on the good things that are happening, the things that we're doing right. And pretty soon we deceive ourselves. Well, I don't miss church as much as that guy. So I must be doing all right. You know, I volunteer on a committee that I show up to sometimes. So I'm probably doing all right. The purpose of examination is to understand that sometimes in our minds we're good enough, but the reality of our lives does not reflect that. We're not as dedicated as we trick ourselves into believing sometimes. We also do it, Paul says, to determine if Jesus Christ is in us. Probably the most important reason to self-examine ourselves, to determine if Jesus Christ is in us. Paul challenged the Corinthians to consider this question. Is Christ in you? Does Christ indwell inside of you? And finally, to determine if we pass the test. What's the test? Well, the test is if Christ is in you or not. So how do we fail that test? Well, some of the other translations of that word failure say to be reprobates. And I looked that word up because I don't know what it means. And it means disapproved, disqualified, counterfeit. The image in the Greek is of metal tried and found impure. Literally, not standing the test. And in the context, it refers to the test of being in the faith or having Christ in you. So when your faith is put to the test, are you a pure metal that withstands that test? Or do you break? Is there something in you that causes you to break and to fall apart? That's the test. When life gets tough, or when you're tempted, do you stand strong on your faith, or do you waver? That's the test. Do you allow Christ to take the lead in your life? Or do you do what you think is best? So we know that we need to test ourselves. So what is the standard? First, let's talk about what's not the standard. We're not the standard. We can't hold ourselves up against what we think is best because we've already decided that we can fool ourselves. 2 Corinthians 10 says, "For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he who the Lord commends." So just because we think we're doing all right does not mean we're approved in the eyes of God. Just because we think that we've got an okay thing going here does not mean that we're approved. That's not the standard. Just because I feel warm and fuzzy when I sing songs to Jesus does not mean my walk with him is pure. So even though we might think that we're right, our opinion is not the one that counts. Sometimes that's hard to hear. Even though we think that what we're doing is right, our opinion is not the one that counts. It's also not by the estimate of men. So our opinion is not the one that counts, but neither is the person sitting next to you. That's also important to remember. John 12 says, "Nevertheless, many, even the rulers, believed in him. Because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for they feared that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God." Have you ever done something or not done something because of what someone else might think of you? That's what this verse is talking about. If you are representing yourself as a faithful Christian just to win the approval of someone else, just to make them think that you've got it going on, when in reality maybe you don't, that your motivation is in the wrong place. You've set the wrong standard. It's not about what someone else thinks of you. This is between you and God. You're not here to impress others. And in reality, if you're living for the one that you should be trying to live for, that will be a natural byproduct. People will be drawn to you. You will be a light in the darkness. So it's not about what you think, and it's not about what other people think. So I think you probably know where I'm going with this. The standard with which we test ourselves is in God's word. It's God's standard. Paul says again, "It is the consent of the Lord that makes one approved." The Lord is the ultimate judge. Jesus himself in John 12 writes, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what I will judge him at the last day." So Jesus judges us by his words. He set the standard. And he set it pretty high. And he did it on purpose. Because it's not in our own power that we achieve this standard. It's through humbling ourselves, through realizing that Christ can live in us, as Paul notes, Christ indwells in us. And that when we invite him to live in us, when we submit our will to him, it's his will that comes out. So the standard is achievable through Christ. So as you reflect on your year, as you ask yourself that question, am I closer to Jesus today than I was a year ago? Use that standard, the standard that Jesus set. Go into His Word. Read what He says about someone who is called to be His follower. If you want to be my disciple, read about what He says. Does He say they'll know you're my disciples by your church attendance? By your volunteer record? By your tithing receipt? I think He uses the word love. They'll know you're my followers by your love. So what are the questions? What do we ask ourselves as we're reflecting? As we look back over 2014, that's a lot of days, and you think about the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, the times where you walked the direction God was calling you to and the times that maybe you didn't. What are the questions? One, I think Paul writes for us. Was I in the faith and was Christ in me? Was I in the faith and was Christ in me? Is that a reality for you in 2014? Were you in the faith and was Christ in you? Did I keep His commandments? That's a pretty good one. Did I abide in His Word? This is one that I reflected on for a while as I thought about this message. Is the brunt of your Bible encountering this year, did it come from my mouth? Because if it did, you're doing it wrong. If the only time you hear Scripture is when Manny says it, or when he puts it on the projector, man, you're missing out on a lot. Do I love God? Do I love God? It's easy to say we love God, but reflect on that reality. What does loving God look like? Do you love God? Did I demonstrate my love for God by loving others like Christ loved me? I had to add that qualifier, because we talk about loving others, but we always drop off that end, like Christ loved me. Because that takes it to a whole nother level. That doesn't say we get to love them until we're exhausted or until we just think that they're not going to respond. We love them sacrificially, all the way to the end. Did I bear fruit? That's a good question for the year. Did I bear fruit? And I mean that on a couple of different levels. First, there's the fruit of the Spirit. Were these evident in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Were these elements present in your life throughout the year? And then secondly, in the bearing fruit category, did others come to know Christ better because of me? Did others come to know Christ better because of me? And on the other side of that, did I hinder anyone from knowing Christ better? Did I hinder anyone from knowing Christ better? Did I show zeal for good works? Were you zealous to do good things in the name of Jesus? To serve others? To put others before yourself? There's probably a lot of other questions we can ask, but I'll stop there. Probably enough to think on for the afternoon. Paul reminds us that self-examination is important. And the reason I do it on the last Sunday of the year is because this is usually a time where we reflect on our year. But I hope that you take this practice and make it part of your spiritual journey. That these are questions that you can look to maybe at the end of a day or at the end of a week, maybe the end of a month, and just think back on them. So at the end of 2015, you don't have to go, how did I do on that? Because you've already been doing it throughout the year. And just like any other kind of a journey, it's so much easier to course correct when we realize early that we're off path. If you wait until the end of a year to correct course, it's going to take a long time to get back going the direction you're supposed to go. But if you make this a practice that you do on a regular basis, a week or a month is a whole lot easier to correct than an entire year. I want to close with a few quotes that I found, kind of to give you some encouragement as you move into 2015, because I don't get to preach again until next year. Thursday is the first page of a brand new 365-day story. Make it a good one. And then the last one is by Stephen Grillet, Quaker missionary. He writes, "I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness I can show to any fellow creature, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again." Think about that as you embark on 2015. There are going to be some opportunities that you have that you only get once. So choose to do the best that you can do in that moment, because you might not get that chance again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your grace and mercy are brand new every day. And Lord, on Thursday morning, they're going to seem even more new, because it's a clean slate. For some reason, that change from 2014 to 2015 just make us feel like the world is full of opportunity. Lord, I pray that you give us what we need to start out on the best foot. Lord, may our lives be focused around growing closer to you, and let everything else fall into place as a result of that. And Lord, I'm sure there's going to be times where we're tempted and times where we even fall. But I pray, Lord, that we would recognize those times quickly and that we would return to you as soon as possible. Lord, I pray that you give us many opportunities to share your love and your hope with people, whether it's through action or through word. Help us to not be ashamed to share our faith with others. Help us to truly represent you in this world. Help us to take full advantage of the opportunities that you give us, and to remember that you are living through us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.